successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efficiu. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efficiu.
The U.S. Census Bureau reported that in 2010, the foreign-born population in the United States, referring to anyone who is not in the U.S. citizen at birth, came from the following parts of the world. 53% came from Latin America and the Caribbean, 28% came from Asia, and 12% came from Europe. This group made up over 13% of the U.S. population in 2010, or about 40 million people, and it is the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population. Each person brought his or her own culture, beliefs, and rituals, and each will hold to those dear while they assimilate in the great American cultural melting pot. Embrace your cultural uniqueness correctly, and you will succeed. But can the singular devotion to it, to the exclusion of assimilation, become a weakness and hinder a person's success? You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I am Chris Efficiu. My guest today will explain how to make your culture an asset for your own success and how to leverage culture for business and family growth. Attorney Sandra Volley is a speaker, trainer, and president of Your Cultural Edge, a business helping corporations, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies integrate the diverse culture of its people with the goals, vision, and values of its corporate culture. As a Vietnamese immigrant to the United States, Sandra intentionally harnessed the strengths of the Asian and the American cultures to find her own cultural edge, and that she did. She became the U.S. Senate Youth Ambassador to Japan at age 16, a successful entrepreneur as a family and immigration attorney, and the first Vietnamese-American woman in Texas to run for state congressional seat. As a former co-host on Saigon Television Broadcasting Network in Dallas, Sandra has shared her inspiring story and empowering message of cultural identity, family relationships, and leadership with people around the world, and has appeared on NPR, Dallas Morning News, as well as the ABC and NBC affiliates in Dallas. It is indeed my pleasure to have her with us today. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm so excited to be here today.
Pleasure to have you here. For the benefit of our listeners, could you please share with us a bit of your background?
Yes, Chris, you have already said so much about me. I came here to the United States as a refugee from Vietnam, knowing two words of English, yes and no. I remember going to school and the teacher asked me, what's your name? And I would nod my head and say, yes. She said, what's your name? I shake my head and said, no. And I switched back between yes and no, and I don't know to this day how I actually even passed first grade. But for some reason, even at the age of six, I could immediately tell that there was something special about this country. I had some host parents, I would say hosts, who came and taught my parents English and took them to Goodwill to pick out clothes and help us to assimilate. And right away already, I saw that the American culture was very welcoming. And as I grew up, I also experienced the other side. I saw some racial animosity. I was called chink. I was called many different names. So for me as an immigrant to the country, I was like this flower who's just trying to find her place here and wanted to know how she would be able to bloom. And through that journey and through many experiences in my life, working very hard, being able to go to school, becoming an attorney, working with hundreds of multicultural clients, I have been able to really understand how your culture can be an asset to you in this country, how you can make it still be authentically who you are, but yet still be able to bring culture into the workplace and also into your home life.
Absolutely. And it seems like you and I have a lot more in common. Well, first thing first, I probably knew twice as many words as you did. Because when I showed up at the doorstep, I think I knew four words, or certainly fewer than 10. And having walked down this path 35 years ago as a foreign exchange student from Greece, it is my belief that attaining success, however you term success, is all about holding on to preserving and nurturing your cultural core, your nucleus, while adapting to the way of life of the country you elected to call your new home. What's your opinion on that?
I absolutely agree with you, Chris. And I will briefly just tell you when what you said really clicked to me and it came to me how important culture can be and how it can be an asset to you. At the age of 16, I had applied for the scholarship to be the United States ambassador to Japan. And this was a scholarship only given to two high school students out of an entire state. And I was one of the 12 semifinalists, and I was the only Asian student. And I sat before a room of six judges. The very first question that the judges asked me was this: you are the only Asian student. What advantage do you have over the other students?
Were the judges blind?
Yeah. But I think they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear. And I looked at them, and I straightened up my shoulders. I scooted up in my chair a little bit and said what I thought was the absolutely honest answer that I could think of. I can use chopsticks better than anybody else. That was my answer. And the judges, just like you now, Chris, they laughed. And when I won that scholarship, I thought to myself, they laughed because I said something about my own culture. And for them, there was a value to that because I was able to bring it out. I was able to bring something uniquely and authentically me. And they liked it. They saw a value to it. And they chose me, a black hair, brown eyes, what we call tan yellow skin, to be the face of America. That's why I really think that regardless of your cultural background, your ethnicity, or your race, that there is a place for you in this great, wonderful country, and you can bring who you are authentically and still succeed if you really consciously make a choice to do so.
And the saying, only in America, is absolutely true, and we have all experienced it as foreign-born, and certainly your example articulates that in the most illuminating way. So there are no two cultures that are the same, even within continents. My own, Europe, you have Greece, which is on the southeastern portion of the continent, and though they're in the same piece of geography, more or less, there isn't a whole lot of similarity between the Greek culture and the British culture, which is in the opposite end of the continent, or even closer, the Italian culture, that, you know, there are more similarities there than, say, with the British or the Germans, but not necessarily a match. In fact, I venture to say that even within the same country, that there are differences from segment to segment of the country. You go north to south, east, west, whatever, and there are sometimes subtle, sometimes not very subtle differences in the way people carry themselves, express themselves, what they eat, how they speak, the dialect, and so on and so forth. And all of it makes a person unique in their very own way. And embracing a person's uniqueness, it's all you're about from our conversations. So I'd like you to kind of delve a little bit more into that and talk to us about the asset of the uniqueness of the person, and then we'll go into the liabilities.
Okay. You made the observation that we are all different, even if we live within the same country. Regions could be different. Culture is about a set patterns that is influenced by our values, our traditions, our experiences, the way our parents are. There are some personality issues involved. There's religion. So a group of people can be so different, even if they are Vietnamese or even if they are Greek. There's a distinctive, there is something distinctive that will set them apart from each other. And that's what we need to remember, that there is something distinctive. And I don't want to for us to begin with generalization. So today what I will talk about, when I talk about culture, I want to talk about my Vietnamese culture within my own context as a child who was raised in a family of 8 children, a Catholic family, as a new immigrant to this country. That's in the context in which I will present our talk today from the my own perspective, and I hope you will contribute from your own Greek perspective. So let's talk about culture, an attribute of culture. How about we start with education? And we could talk about how important is education to you and your family? Where does it fall?
Let me ask a question here. Were your parents educated in Vietnam?
Yes, they were both educated in Vietnam.
And they were college graduates or the equivalent?
They were. My parents, my mom was not, but my dad was.
And of course, education, if I draw from my own background, must have been of the utmost importance to them to be able to avail to their children.
Yes, correct.
Education, correct. I find, is one of those cornerstones of most cultures, regardless of how developed the country of origin of an individual is. It seems to be the pinnacle in a parent's dream for their children. Let's take a short break, and we will discuss that and much more on the other side of it. My guest is Sandra Vuli, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Efesiou. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. Let's hear what's on your mind. Call us at 1-866-472-5788 or email your question to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Also, please visit the website chrisefesiou.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. Like Chris Efesiou on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Chief Daddy Officer. I am Chris Efesiou with my guest Sandra Vuli. Please visit her website at yourculturaledge.com and follow her on Twitter at Sandra Vuli. And that is S-A-N-D-R-A-V-U-L-E. Before we went on break, we were talking about the cultural differences and or similarities, and we were focusing on the importance that education has on the Vietnamese culture, and I will ask you to take us on from there, Sandra.
Yes, Chris. I don't know if you have had the same experience when you were a child, but I remember bringing home a report card and seven subjects. I would have six A's and there was one B. And I give the report card to my father and he would look at the report card and point at the B and said, "Why is there a B?" Never said, "Oh, you did a great job on those six A's that you had." There was always an expectation that if you go to school, you will put in whatever necessary hours it takes to get the A's in the class. That was expected. That was your job. That was the way in which you, that was the only way that you will succeed in life, is that for you to do well in school, get an education, get a degree, and go out and get a job. And I think part of that was, as an immigrant to this country, that was the only way that was done. In Vietnam, the entertainers, the sports, the business people, they didn't make money. They didn't succeed on a high level. They didn't have the prestige as the doctors, the lawyers, the professors. Everything was very narrow in terms of success only fits in these professions. And that mentality also was brought here to the country as immigrants, and the parents therefore also pushed the kids to work also in that area. So I myself am a lawyer. I have a sister who's a doctor. I have a brother who's a professor. We went into that category. But now my question is, how will I teach my kids? What will be different? Do I keep the same mentality? Or now that I am in the United States, do I need to change? Or how do I need to change to fit the times? That's the big question.
And how are you managing that so far? How old are your children anyway?
My children, Alex is 13, Sarah is 12, and my little daughter, Jenna, is 7.
Wonderful.
And I try not to be a tiger mom, but I still think I have lots of characteristics as a tiger mom. But I also look at what their interests are. I look at my son and see, if he's not science-oriented, then I'm not going to push him in any areas in which he, you know, push him to be a scientist or a doctor or anything like that. I look at his interests and see what he likes. I will, however, tell you that my expectations of my kids and getting good grades are still very similar to what my parents have put on me. And that's because I understand their level and understand how smart they are. I think that if they didn't have the academic abilities, I wouldn't push them as hard, but I know they have it. Now it's just a matter of encouraging them to go and study hard, learn the skills that made me successful, but also to do something that they're extraordinary at. What are their great skills level? What is it that they really shine in and help guide them to careers or paths that are going to make them happy and yet still be able to do well?
Well, you've called yourself at least in part a tiger mom, and I will say that there is a tiger mom and a tiger dad in every mom and dad. The stamp of a tiger mom is when those attitudes, I guess, are the prevailing ones. But I believe everybody has a little bit of that in them, and that's not a bad thing. But you articulated, not explicitly, but implicitly, that what you are doing with your children is to, while you have the expectations, is you give them the encouragement, and you're looking out to what it is that they have a specific aptitude in so that you can feed into that and make it blossom. And I think that in years past, and certainly outside of the U.S. borders, that may not necessarily have been the real deal. Expectations were always there for children, and I'm now speaking of the Greek culture. You were expected to do well. You were expected to do well in school, to be the model student, the model citizen, the model this and the model that. So those were all set. You were encouraged in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way to do what you wanted to do, but pretty much what your path in life was going to be was decided more or less from your parents or other family members, and then it was up to you to break out of that. For instance, until the age of 12, I believed, because I was told, that I needed to be an architect. And though in retrospect, now at age 55, I look back at that and say, well, that wouldn't have been a bad thing. It certainly was not the thing that was turning me on back then, and certainly not the thing that ever spoke to me in adult life. So you kind of have to break out of it and do what it is that drives you as opposed to what your parents want you to be driven by, because that may be a good thing, but not necessarily the thing that fits the individual. So the cultural background is not only an influence, but oftentimes It's the driver. It's the ruler of your future unless you break out of it, and it takes a bit to do that. I'm sorry.
Yes, and I agree with you. I think that we as parents have to find that correct balance. The emphasis on education is great. I want my kids to do well, and I think all parents want their kids to do well. But sometimes if you spend so much time, you know, worrying just on the grades, that's the technical skills. Knowing that, you may then are not looking at the areas that really need some additional attention. One of the things that Asians have is what we call the bamboo ceilings. Asians are great getting to the top universities, doing really well in all professions as lawyers, doctors. But when it comes to the management level, the CEO levels, the leadership roles, the statistics of Asians compared to how many go to the great university is very low. Why? Because there is such emphasis on the technical skills, and there are less, there's less emphasis on the leadership skills, the social skills, the team building skills, the networking skills, and those are all the necessary skills that you have to have here to work and to be successful in the workplace. And not only that, to be successful in life. You know, kids make more friends when they are more sociable, when they know how to connect, when they know how to play on a team. So for me, I have living here in the United States, learning. I've learned that the technical skills are great, and I have to have them, but I find that it's even more important for me to have the social skills, the leadership skills, the networking skills, the ability to empathize and relate to others. Those are the extra skills that will make you a successful person, and that's what I'm trying to teach my kids. I want to give them both technical and the social that's going to be able to connect them with everyone. Our workplace is going to be so diverse that we're going to have to be able to get along with everyone.
Without question. And another aspect, as you were saying, that the Asian culture maybe is a little bit deficient in the in attaining the C-suite positions. One of those might be that, at least in my experience, I'm certainly not a sociologist, but in my experience, the Asian culture is not necessarily the most risk-taking of cultures. They tend to be more risk-averse. It isn't a knock on the people. It is just a cultural thing. And that may very well contribute to the fact that the top management positions, which absolutely require taking of risks constantly and consistently, maybe they don't have the affinity for that because they don't feel it in their gut. Your comment?
I agree. I would agree with you in terms of I would call what we call the risk tolerance. Parents, I think, tell their kids to go into careers where they know that there is a high percentage that child will succeed and make money and have a comfortable living. That's why the child is encouraged to go to law school, go to be an engineer, be a doctor, be a dentist, be in the professions where there's guarantee of certainty. In that regard, I will have to agree with you that even as parents, but I think it's also part of being an immigrant and living in a country in Vietnam where there weren't opportunities. And so you want to have, when you do have an opportunity, you want it to be secure. You want it to be safe. You don't want to, you know, to have everything taken away because you have things taken away from you already and you have to start again. And so I think that's part of it is, you know, that risk tolerance. And I think that as more Vietnamese Americans assimilate, as we continue to assimilate, I think that risk tolerance level is going to change.
My guest is Sandra Vuli, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Efesiou. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and is the co-founder of BR Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Sandra Vuli, and we are talking about the cultural advantages and perhaps disadvantages at work and at home and how we can leverage our own culture to both the business and the family side. While we were on break, we received a couple of emails, and Sandra, I'd like to pose this question to you. It comes from Jove in Norfolk, Virginia. It says, what are the challenges in raising your children to embrace their culture while at times it may be in conflict with the culture here in the States? Do you have examples, and how do you counsel them?
I try to look at my culture and look at the strength of my culture, and then if I look at my culture and feel that it is a weakness, then I let that go and embrace what I would call the American culture. For example, when I was raised, communication with my parents was always a top-down. There's a thing in Vietnamese, your parents tell you where to sit, and that's where you sit. They tell you what to do. It wasn't a two-way conversation. You do exactly what your parents say. That is not going to work for me, and my family now, raising my kids. I want to be able to communicate with them. I still want them to come to me with their problems and share their dreams and talk to me about things that go on in their life. So I want it to be a two-way communication, but a communication with respect. And respect is very important in my culture. So that's the first thing that has changed. I still respect, but speaking both ways. Now, I have seen where parents allow their kids to call them by their first name. For me, if my son would ever do that to me and call me by my first name, there would be no end.
Yeah, they may not remember their own name for a while.
That's true, Chris. They would not remember their own name. And I see this and the first time I heard it, I just, there was a big question mark. I said, why? Why would parents allow their kids to call them by their first name?
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll speculate here. There are parents, and unfortunately, I know more than my fair share of those, that they cannot stand to have their child upset at them. Whatever the reason that their child may be upset at them, they just cannot stand the fact that their child is not their buddy. At the end of the day, just like at the beginning of the day, I am first and foremost my child's parent. That's my job. That is what I'm here to do, because that is what is going to protect them, direct them, guide them, and nurture them. I have the whole rest of their life as adults to be their friend, if that turns out to be that way. Now, many figure that, well, if there's no relationship when they're young, how are they going to have a relationship when they're old? Well, one doesn't exclude the other, but you cannot drop your guard and allow your child to be your equal, because what you have now done is you are marching to the beat of your child's drum.
And I think that is the conflict that lots of parents face today. It's being a parent versus being a friend. And I hope to always be I am my child's parent. That's just like you said, that's foremost. But I still want to make sure that there is a line of communication that goes both ways, and that my child can think of me as a friend, but know that that's mom, and that, there's a line. You need to be careful with mom when she gives you that evil eye.
And, this kind of communication is, the parents not wanting to displease their children isn't really that much different at home than it is at the workplace. There are several bosses, supervisors, managers, whatever their position is, that they tend to quote-unquote manage by committee, and they want everybody to like them, and they cannot stand the idea of being disliked. When you have management by committee and somebody and you have the absolute need to be liked, you are going to make significant mistakes, because you're going to have to cater to other people's wishes that oftentimes are in conflict with yours and or that of the organizations. And the easy fix to that is, I never really lost any sleep if I was liked or not, so long as I was respected. And trading popularity for respect has always been, in my experience, a losing proposition, and it will always be. So whether it is at home or at the office, I think the bottom line is the same. And I will like to ask you a different question, focusing on the business. Most cultures, certainly the Asian culture, certainly the Greek culture, have an awful lot of respect for the elderly. They rule the roost. They are the head of the family. And of course that goes, that also has the hallmarks of the authority that goes with that, as well as the hierarchy. Those are terrific attributes in the family side, in the home side. But if you cannot break outside of that kind of mindset in the business side, so you have to always look up to seniority and kind of bow down to them, you have the authority issues and the hierarchy issues. Could those, in your estimation, be a weakness in business, and can they negatively impact a person's growth and professional success?
Yes, Chris, I believe it can. In the Vietnamese culture, the way I was raised at home, we have a family of eight, my mom and dad, that made 10 of us. And my poor younger brother, who is the youngest in the whole eight siblings, every day when we start a meal would have to say, please eat, mom, dad, then start with the older brother and worked his way all the way down. That was a way to say, please eat ahead of me. A father would pick up the chopsticks. He would start into the food before anybody else can touch. That's the respectful way, because there's such a hierarchy. There's a place where you belong. And each place also has its roles. The older brother, the older sister, always has to take care of the younger siblings. They know that that's their job, their responsibility. It's their duty to be the great role model. I just remember even at when my young son was 3 and my daughter was 2, and I took him to the daycare, and he would sit back in his car seat, and I would ask, Alex, what are you going to do at the daycare today? And his answer was, I'm going to watch out for little sister. You know, that is a tradition that is taught, that there is a place, and each place has a duty, and each place has a respect. Well, what happens when you go to the workplace and you feel like you have a place, and that place is at the bottom? You're a new associate, you're a new employee, you're someone lower on the totem pole. You will then give deference to the superiors. You won't open your mouth to say your opinion or come up with an idea. You're scared to assert yourself. And when you do that, that will become a weakness in the workplace. They will look at you as saying, you're passive, you don't have anything to contribute, how can we promote you? But in a culture that emphasizes so much on the hierarchy, and if you bring that hierarchy into the workplace, that could definitely be a weakness for that person if he or she continues on that path.
Let's hear the solution of how you fix that at the other side of the break. My guest is Sandra Vulee, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Efesiou. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. You are listening to my guest, Sandra Vully. I'm Chris Efesiou, and we are talking about the use and the embracement of one's culture for their advantage in business and at home. Just before we went on break, we were speaking about the way that one can actually use their background and whether that background may present a negative impediment to them. There must be a way that you can somehow tweak it so it does not hinder you in business. What's that way?
Chris.
Yes.
The first part is to be consciously aware and know that it is a weakness, that your culture programs you, the way you were raised, the values you were taught, it programs you to be this way. So if you know that you're programmed not to be assertive, to be quiet, then you need to unprogram that. For example, when I went to law school as an Asian woman, a Vietnamese woman, I was taught to be passive, to be quiet, to be not assertive. When I went to law school, I decided to take every single class that had public speaking involved in it, the moot court competitions, the trial competitions, the negotiation competitions, the client competitions, the client counseling competitions. I did all those competitions because I knew what would be my weakness from my own cultural upbringing, and I did something to unprogram that in order to be successful.
Which is, again, another way of the Greek philosopher teachings of knowing thyself, and knowing thyself means knowing what's good and what's bad and how it is that you can turn the bad into good to your own personal advantage.
Absolutely.
Tell me, in business today, obviously you are involved in training corporations, government, etc., to do business in a multicultural type of environment. What are some of the major issues that you see coming up that transcend cultures, that it will be the same whether the background, the ethnic background of an individual is Asian, Hispanic, European, whatever?
I think the challenges that we face is going to be the ability for us to see each other and know that we are all different. I think that the understanding and the empathy involved is crucial for success. The United States Census predicts that in the year 2050, there will be no racial or ethnic majority at all. We are going to be so diverse that there will be no majority. What were the challenges that are ahead for us is when we have such a diverse workplace, how is it that we are going to get along with each other? And my thought on that is when you are culturally aware of who you are and how your culture affects you, then you, your awareness, your keenness of other people and their culture and how that may affect them will allow you the ability to get along and understand people so much better. And that is going to be a skill that is going to be an asset to any employer.
Very true. What can employers do today? Because 2050 is more than a generation out, but that change, that complete amalgamation is not going to happen overnight. Where every year we're getting closer and closer to 2050, and therefore that mix happens gradually in the next 38 years between now and then. What are some steps, some key elements that employers can begin instituting today, if they have not already, in preparation for a cohesive, forward-thinking, productive workforce 30-some years out?
I think the very first thing is that for employers to really understand that each of their employees are individuals that come from a different culture. How are they going to harness the asset and have their employees bring their cultural strengths to the workplace, and how to help their employees show those cultural strengths? For example, if you know that Asians or Americans are raised to or programmed in a hierarchy and they are not assertive, or they won't speak until all the supervisors have spoken, or people in authority have spoken, one of the things that managers can do is encourage that by asking for their opinion. Ask specifically, you know, instead of them volunteering, ask for that information. That is one way a manager can show, I know that person has great ideas, has, you know, good opinions, have things that he or she wants to share, but they're shy about sharing. So instead of that, I'm going to ask so that that person, you know, who may be shy the first time asserting himself or herself, will feel comfortable, and then maybe he or she will do it again. So understanding that part of the culture, an employer understanding that part of the culture, can also then help that employee to bring the best of that employee to the table and contribute to the organization.
Wonderful. We have multiple questions from listeners pending on the screen here, but we're unfortunately out of time, and that guarantees you a return back to a future show, because there are so many things to talk about.
Oh,
such
wonderful. I am glad that the listeners, you know, have a lot of questions. That means that this was something that made everybody think, and I'm happy to hear that.
Wonderful. Sandra, thank you so very much for your time, your insights, and I really do hope that you'll visit us again sometime in the future.
I sure will, Chris. Thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure. Tune in next week when we discuss reducing risks and increasing opportunities for youth. My guests will be Alexandra Shade and Camila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA. So please join me next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. I am Chris Efesiou. Let's talk more next week. I'll see you then. So long.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood.
please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.